we can get over there to Walmart, but God's been good to us, and he's provided us a beautiful home in Westerville, and also three of our six grandchildren are there, and so, you know, that's just a little extra that's very nice, right? And hopefully the kids will let us have them every once in a while, so that type of thing, but we're glad to be here, and thank you, and I know you're in a time of transition here, and you're praying about the future and leadership and all those kind of things, but I'm thankful for the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and, you know, he's helping you, he's helping us, and I'd just like to share with you a few moments from the Word of God, and if you would like to look with me at Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 23, this is a classic passage about the fruit of the Spirit, but it starts out by talking about the works of the flesh, which unfortunately is all too real in our day and age. But let's look at the contrast here today a little bit. I know I can't go through all the fruit, but I'm gonna lift up one of them to you today that I think is so very timely, especially in our day and age. But Galatians 5, 19 through 23, the acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions and factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Here's the part. This is great news. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And get this line: against such things there is no law. In other words, what's really going to stand against the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, forbearance. Let's talk about that a little bit here this morning. That long, big word, forbearance. I have a picture here. I think that we can flash up here in front of us, and it's, you know, sometimes you click on these pictures, and sometimes they're not quite as clear. And I knew when I sent it through, but you see, that's a 4-lane highway there. That's kind of familiar to most of us. Now, I don't think these are actual signs, but somebody has kind of photoshopped this thing, and it's signs that all of us would kind of like to have on the road at one time or another. The one on the right says, "Stay in this lane unless you're going to pass." Does that sound familiar? And then the one here on the left in the passing lane: if there's someone behind you and no one in front of you, then get out of this lane. So there you go. But there it is, the right lane. Stay in this lane unless you're going to pass. You know, the world's mostly pretty much made up of other people, isn't it? And we really need to have gentle forbearance for one another. Oh, what does that word forbearance really mean? Here's one. How about within the family? I got up this morning, and I knew where the cereal was. Carol told me before we went to sleep last night, "Oh, by the way, in the new pantry." And so I got the cereal out, the milk and all that. I remember when we were little kids growing up at the house, and in the morning, you know, you're just kind of in this mood, and cereal boxes are great to make a barrier between you and everybody else at the table, right? And so we kids, you know, we'd be sitting there eating on our cereal, and all of us would have our cereal boxes in front of us. Why? Because we just really weren't in the mood to have a whole lot of forbearance for other people at that moment. And so every once in a while, even at 63 years of age, you know, every once in a while, I'm just tempted to put that box right there in front of me. What is forbearance? You know, we could give a lot of definitions. It's patience, really. That's a more familiar word. Patience, long-suffering, tolerance. It's endurance of wrong under ill treatment. Well, I could talk about that. Here's a quote. It's the quality of putting up with other people even when your patience is sorely tried. That's forbearance. Gentle forbearance. I think there used to be a hymn. I think there's a hymn out there that maybe is just entitled that, Gentle Forbearance. I probably need to memorize the words. You know, it really helps me to know, though, that there were times when Jesus himself was really tried. You know, Jesus was fully God, but he's also completely man as well when he was here on this earth. And do you remember the story about the transfiguration? You know, it was a spiritual high for him, and he's up on this mountainside, and he's got his close disciples with him, and all of a sudden everything just began to glow about him. It was a spiritual high, and he also had that conversation with two of the greats of the Old Testament, Elijah and Moses, and man, I mean, it was just great. And then they start down the mountain, and remember what happens at the bottom of the mountain. There's all kinds of arguing going on, and the disciples are in disarray, and so here he is coming down off this spiritual high, and all of this difficulty going on, and it was just one of those, what's going on kind of moments. And this father came forward. He says, I have this son that the evil spirits has taken away his speech, and there's nothing that I can do about it, and I'm desperate, and I brought him to your disciples, and your disciples couldn't do anything about it. Now, I'm so glad for the humanity of Jesus Christ, because at that point, you could just tell he was exasperated. He's just saying something like, oh, this generation, how long am I going to put up with you? And so there's Jesus in the middle of all of his humanity, and it really helps me to know that Jesus also had challenges along this line. Here's what he said. He said, you unbelieving generation, how long will I stay with you? How long will I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. And you're probably familiar with the rest of the story. I want to ask something. You ever been exasperated with people? You just had it. I remember, can I go clear back? You know, this sounds like a retired guy talking. I'm going to go clear back to my first church. I remember we had a guy in my first church by the name of Claude Wheeler. And he and his wife were really a faithful part of the church. But it was just, they were what you would call scorekeepers. That was back in the days when, you know, we had the offertories, you know, somebody would sing while they were taking the offering, and we had a music committee that would put all those lists together and all that. And I remember Claude and Edna, they would go up to that list, and they literally were keeping score. Now, how many times are people singing on Sunday morning, and how many times are people singing on Sunday night? And they would look and see to make sure that they were singing on Sunday morning prime time just as much as anybody else. And I remember they looked one time, and the score didn't look to their favor. And so they went to the music chairman. They didn't come to the pastor. They went to the music chairman, and they said, we noticed that we're not singing on Sunday morning that much, but other people are singing more. And they were genuinely upset. And I remember the music chairman trying to talk to him, being very nice to him and all that. And here's Claude and Edna. And finally they decided, here was the quote from Claude Wheeler. Here's what he said. He said, if I can't sing during prime time, I'm not going to sing at all. You know, sometimes people can be difficult to deal with. I remember I knew where Claude lived, and I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm a young pastor, and I'm going to go down there, and I'm going to straighten him out. Oh, yeah, I was going to straighten Claude out. And I walked out, and I'll never forget, Edna comes up to the door. And right away, she exits the house. She knows what's going on here. The pastor's coming. He's loaded for bear. He's going to straighten my husband out. He was an old retired minister himself. Now I'm starting to realize, hey, wait a minute. I'm on his end of things now, you know, that type of thing. But anyway, I go into the house, and how do I describe the next 45 minutes? All I know is I went in there to straighten him out, and we both ended up bent out of shape. So that's just about where it was. You say, Larry, where are you going with this? We need the Holy Spirit. I saw this quote here some time back, and I think this is true. Listen to this, and I quote, We don't meet people by accident. They are meant to cross our path for a reason. There are no accidents. And here's this. How many people, especially the difficult ones, have been sent my way as a reminder that I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Because I just literally can't handle him on my own. We all have those people in our lives, don't we? You see, the Holy Spirit, he's the one who develops within us great patience and tolerance and long-suffering and forbearance. The Holy Spirit comes along to help us to get along. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, patience with one another. Lord, fill me now. Teach me patience with people. You might want to take... I just have three or four points I want to give you here this morning. And the first one is this. Forbearance suspends judgment. Boy, it's easy to judge Claude, isn't it? Oh, he's always that way. They'll always be that way. They never. Oh, they're always the same. They will never change. My wife can tell you there's been many times I've said, boy, you know, I just don't think they'll ever change. And Carol looks at me and says, we got to leave that up to the Lord, don't we? With my mouth, I'm so quick to judge. Listen to this. God's presence can put a muzzle on it. I saw this. In the future, you will have many opportunities to keep your mouth shut. Make full use of each one. And there are times when, that's true, isn't it? There's a time to speak and a time to muzzle. I had a seminary professor, Alex Deasley. He used to say this, the fearful thing is not that God will judge others, but that he will judge me. He will judge me. Hey, here's another one. Not only does forbearance suspend judgment, but how about this one? Forbearance rejects retaliation. It must have been one of those times when we didn't have the cereal boxes in front of us, but I think it was supper, and one of my favorite family members, and I don't even remember this, and I don't even know who was doing the aggravating, but I have a little sister named Patty, and she was so aggravated that somehow during the meal, she grabbed a handful of mashed potatoes. Can you imagine this? It's supper. And she was getting ready to throw it at one of my siblings, and all she said before she did it was, Mom! In other words, she was saying, I've had it with whatever's going on. I don't know whether it actually got flung or not. But you know, when you really think about it, when you live with one another, forbearance rejects retaliation. Here's a scripture. How about this one? 1 Thessalonians 5:14 and 15. We urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what's good for each other and for everyone else. It rejects retaliation. You know, the story is told of an ancient Greek general who was defeated in battle, and they took over his territory, and it wasn't enough that they defeated him. They were going to humiliate him. And here's this great general, and guess what he was called to do? They said, from now on, you're the garbage collector in this town. And they had him going out picking up the garbage, all the refuse all through the town. How demeaning for a great general that had to have been. But listen to his attitude. I love this quote from this ancient parable. Listen to this. As the position will not bring honor to me, I will bring honor to the position. And the story goes that the town was never cleaner than when that general was picking up garbage all over that town. Do you find yourself, I ask you this question here today, do you find yourself dishonored by your detractors? Demoted. Listen to the Spirit reminding you of what the Word says. This is no time for payback. I know it would be easy. Forbearance, my friends. Forbearance. Hey, here's another one. How about this one? Forbearance embraces imperfection. I got news for you, and I need to be reminded of this over and over again. Too bad people aren't perfect. But guess what? Larry, it's nothing personal. They just aren't perfect. You see, the truth is they're just like me. And all of a sudden I realize, my, how patient other people must have to be with me. It's nothing personal. And sometimes we're placed together, you know, we're placed in high-pressure situations where what's really going on inside of us has a tendency to just be squeezed out. And so I ask you today, are you filled with the Spirit? I find myself in constant need to be filled with the Spirit. Here's the final one. Are you ready for this? Forbearance remembers. You see, forbearance remembers God's patience with me. Man, when I think of how I aggravated him, I grew up in a Nazarene parsonage. My wife and I are both of products of the Church of the Nazarene. Our parents were in the ministry. So proud of that memory. And I remember when I became a teenager, I realized that I needed God's grace in my life. I think I was trying to live off my parents' religion, and if anybody could have done it, man, my parents were great. I mean, but you know what? You got to make your own choice eventually. And I remember a summer between my sophomore and junior year in high school going to a camp meeting altar and saying, Jesus, come into my heart. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Man, I was caught doing so many things, and I was heading in the wrong direction really fast. And God got a hold of my heart. You want to know something? One of the fruit of the Spirit is just exactly this. It's memory. We don't forget. Paul never forgot. I like this. 1 Timothy 1:15-17. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. I encourage you, be filled with the Spirit. Or as Ephesians 5:18 says, keep on. Literally that means keep on keeping on being filled with the Spirit. It doesn't hurt to pray it every morning. It doesn't hurt to pray it every evening. It doesn't hurt to pray it when you're aggravated at work. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Help me to be the kind of person you've called me to be. You see, the Holy Spirit is our memory. He's our motivation to treat others as we've been treated by God. So be filled with the Spirit. I'm going to ask you to stand right now, and let's think about this for a few moments. The fruit of the Spirit is forbearance. Forbearance. It's the ability to put up with each other. A great NFL quarterback, Roger Staubach, said something that reminded me that this isn't very popular, this message. You look around in the world today, forbearance is not one of those things that's really coming out very strongly nowadays. Here's what Roger Staubach said. This isn't popular. This isn't very popular, but he said there are no traffic jams along the extra mile. You know, there's just very few people that go down this road. May we be that kind of people. And I'll tell you, in a community just like this, what an exciting setting here. My, you look out at the main road and all the activity that's going on. You know, sometimes the greatest message we can preach is just simply being kind, being patient, helping other people along the way. And I'll tell you what, taking this trail really does lead to changed lives. I go back to the Mount of Transfiguration. It's a high point in Jesus' ministry. And also on that mountain, the voice came from heaven itself and said, this is my son whom I love. Listen to him. And you talk about a spiritual high. And then he comes down off that mountain, back to his powerless disciples, back to a frustrated father who was trying to find something or someone to believe in. And Jesus moved beyond his frustration and he said, bring the boy to me. You know, he could have just walked out on that whole thing and said, you know, I've had it. But he didn't. He said, bring the boy to me. And the boy was healed. And there was a daddy who finally had something, someone to believe in. And it could be that this week, the best witness you're going to have is just patience with someone. Maybe some difficult someone in your life who maybe is just looking for someone to look to. Maybe Jesus can shine through you this week. It's always easier on the mountain. But it's best right down here where we live in the messy world around us. But you know what? God has planted you in this place for a special reason. He really has. I'd like to close with, I want to say a word of prayer with you, but as I do, I believe the worship team is coming, and when I heard what they had planned for the end, I thought, well, this is perfect. This is perfect. And they're going to come while I say a word of prayer with you. Dear Jesus, have your way. Lord, I'm talking to some really good people here today. But we're all human beings. You know, Lord, the world in which we live. I'm just thankful, Father, that you have a plan. And that plan isn't to take us out of this, but to help us live victoriously in the midst of all of it. As we exit here and we come down off the mountain, we go back into a sometimes topsy-turvy existence. But Lord, I'm thankful that your plan is not to escape it, but to fill us so much with yourself that you begin to come through, even in the midst of difficult people, difficult circumstances. Lord, if there be anybody here that just needs to pray about this, this could be the moment. Just a very simple prayer. Lord, fill me for this week. Fill me for this day. Help me, Lord. Help. Just want you to know, friends, as we sing, I've been told that there's a prayer area back here to the side. And if there's anyone that would like to pray, you're welcome to head in that direction. And I know there's a prayer team here that would love to pray with you. And I'd love to do that as well. But we're just going to take a few moments to sing and allow the Lord to speak to us about his word here this morning. Let's do so.